And I'd ask that you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8 as we pick it up in verse 16. Luke chapter 8. Why don't we stand as we read the Word of God? Give us one more opportunity. If you're able to stand, we can stand and stretch a moment. I want to read verses 16 to 18 to us. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you again for the precious blood of Christ that is able to cleanse us and to keep cleansing us from all sin as we confess our sin. We thank you, Father, that you are righteous and holy. We thank you that you have given us your word that we might understand it by the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that we would be good listeners this morning and that you would use it in each one of us, starting with the one that is preaching. And Father, we pray and thank you for this opportunity and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. How well do we listen? How well am I listening right now? How well are you listening right now? People in general, I think if we look at life, I would say that it is generally true that we are activity-oriented. We are schedule-oriented. Our whole life is built around activities. It is built around schedules. It is built around routines. Every one of us, even today, we have our plans. I'm sure most of us in this room have some plans for today, of which this is part of it, and only a part of it. And so we are involved in that. We have plans. We have certain time frames for those plans. And we have this as part of our life. It is very rare, I believe, very rare, to find someone who does not have that type of life and who is a very cautious observer and a listener. Without worrying about schedules, without worrying about time frames, without worrying about routine. Think about it for a moment in our own lives. It is amazing how many times we think we're listening and we're really not. How many times have you just had the simple occasion? I've failed in this many times. To have a simple conversation with somebody, maybe it already happened this morning, and you introduce yourself and they introduce themselves and you're listening and whatever, you turn around, you don't even remember their name. You just talked to them, they just introduced themselves, and you've already forgotten who they are. And they're not even 3 feet away from you. How many times have you been involved in a conversation, or have I been involved in a conversation? And while there's a conversation going on, you're already thinking about what you're going to say. You're not really listening. You give the appearance that you're listening, but you're not. You're either coming up with arguments or you're coming up with responses. And it's led in many relationships, parent, child, husband, wife, just workers and so forth, that we end up coming back and say, "Oh, I thought you said this." Have you ever done that? I'm looking at the audience. The audience is like, "No, this never happens to me." Really? Okay? And we say we're listening, and yet we can't remember names. We can't remember, you know, a conversation. We get it wrong. Now let me ask you a question. Have you really been listening? How many could tell me what I preached 2 weeks ago? How many could tell? Luke, safe answer. Very good. Safe answer for those of you that come into the church on a regular basis. I like that. That's one for you. Can you tell me which verses 2 weeks ago? Can you tell me what I preached on last week? Can you tell me what the essence of the message was? Can you tell me what your devotion life was like? You think about it. We say we're listening, but oftentimes we're really not. It is just part of a routine, and we're into things, and we hear it for the moment. And even today, when you leave here, will you have been listening? Will I have been listening? This passage before us is another parable. And by the way, this is a great lesson to me again, why expositional preaching is the right way. Because I don't have to try to think and fit things in. It just goes along, and whatever comes next, I have to face it as well. And I have to explain it and study it. But we come to another parable in this passage that I read, verses 16 to 18. We left off in verse 15 last week. That would have been a safe answer. You left off in verse 15. But we come to this parable, and it seems to us that the emphasis is certainly on light, and certainly light is important. And it is certainly talking a lot about light in the passage. It opens up with no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over. So it talks about light. It talks about a lamp. But I do think that the emphasis, as we get to it in just a few moments, if you look at verse 18, it says, so take care how you listen. Now, it's interesting because as we come to the parable, I want you to notice just in relationship to last week, unlike last week's message and unlike last week's parable, which was the parable of the sower, the scriptures gave us the interpretation. There wasn't much thinking that had to go on at all. I explained that to you as we went through it, but the scripture interpreted it. If you remember, he says that to you. In verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. And the text goes on and explains it. That is not the case in this particular parable that I just read to you. So what does that mean? There is no interpretation given to us. And so we need to look at it and try to figure out from the text what is going on, because the Lord doesn't give us that interpretation. So let's take a look at it. First of all, you'll notice in verses 16 and 17 that it is dealing with light. The word light is used some four or five times or six times, depending upon the different words that are used here in the passage. And what is the concept of light to begin with? It's designed, is it not? Light is designed to reveal things, to expose things, to brighten things, to make things clearer to us. And the example is what you're sitting in this room. We have lights over us all over the place. And they're designed to reveal, to expose, to brighten things. They are not designed, lights are not designed to hide things. Light is not designed to conceal things. And light is not designed to snuff things out. In fact, to give you it right from the scriptures, let me read to you Ephesians chapter 5. You can mark it down if you happen to be taking notes, but I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. I think a good biblical explanation of it. It says this. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And so very general, as we talk about light and we see light is mentioned here, we understand that light is meant to reveal. It's meant to expose. It's not meant to hide things. And we have, as I said, the overhead lights, flashlights, candles. And by the way, the lights here at that time were not like these lights that we have here. Most of the time, and I had a couple, I was going to bring them up this morning and decided not to, as I was going to give you object lessons by seeing them. But they have a number of different things. Some of them were little bowls that had oil in them. Others, like you see, sometimes representing the United States, they had a place for the finger to go through and you would carry it and had a candle in it. Most of them back in that day and age would have an opening where a wick would go through and the wick would meet the oil and they would light it on the end and things of that nature. A lot different from today. But again, I think we can all agree that light helps us to see things better. Light is designed to help us to see things better. And we need to see a clearer picture of things. It's light that does that for us. It's not designed to cover up. There's no, I don't think, argument about that. Now, when it's talking about light here, you need to understand that it uses the word light differently in Scripture. Now, I'm only going to give you a couple examples this morning because it's important for our text. How does the Scripture use light? Well, if we went back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, we'd see, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. So light is used in Scripture in relationship to creation. Light came from God. He's the one that even introduced it to us. Everything was dark, and he introduced it. He exposed it. He also told us that he's given us such things as the stars and the moon and the sun. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars also to reflect light. So light has been used in relationship to creation. Go with me to John chapter 8 for 1 second, please. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, you'll be familiar with this, I'm sure. Verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, as another example, refers to himself as being light, that he is the light of the world. And in relationship that we just observed here in communion, just in case you don't understand that Jesus Christ is the light, you need to understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the light because he came. We are all in darkness. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you notice it says in that verse, he that follows him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that provides eternal life. And that is through faith in the finished and completed work of Christ, which this communion table represented. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son as the light of the world. Why did he come? To die on the cross of Calvary. I had a discussion, the men yesterday, I asked them to be praying for a particular situation, and I will say this to the men so they know their prayers were answered. I did have an opportunity to talk to a gentleman yesterday and share the gospel with that person. And as I did, we talked about the very fact that Jesus Christ came in full obedience. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and he died and paid the penalty and price for sin, but he rose again victorious. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. No one can get to heaven. No one can be in the presence of God except it be through Jesus Christ. So the Scriptures refer to him as the light of the world. The Scriptures also refer to the Word of God as light. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I think I've tested you on this before. How many know what the verse is that you, when you walk into this church building, it's on the wall on the left-hand side? Last time, it was a pretty big failure because people didn't remember. Does anybody remember now? Someone said it. 105. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Also, verse 130 of the same passage. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. In the New Testament, 2 Peter, I will read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe, yeah, chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. No, that's not the one I want. That's 1 Peter. That's actually the one I quoted. 2 Peter chapter 1. Give me a second. And verse 19, so we have this prophetic word made more sure, by which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars arise in your hearts. So the word of God is sometimes used as light. And also, one other thing that I'll mention, and there's others, but these are the main ones: creation, Jesus Christ, the Word of God is used as light, and also the believer's life. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, very important, so turn to that one, Matthew chapter 5. What we find there in another familiar passage, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp, very similar to what we have here, and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that's referring to the believer. Also, I won't turn there, but Philippians chapter 2, if you want to look at that on your own, verses 14 to 15, talks about our life shining as lights in this dark world. All of that to point out, let's go back to Luke chapter 8, that the word light is used in various ways. It's used in relationship to God creating it. It's used in relationship to Jesus Christ. It's used in relationship to the Word of God. And it's used in relationship to believers' lives. So the question is, in this parable, what is he referring to? When he says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with the container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing hidden, there is nothing hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be made known and come to the light. What is he referring to? He's not referring to creation. He's not referring to Jesus Christ. Is he referring to the Word of God, or is he referring to the believer's life? I will tell you this, that many commentators believe that this is referring to the believer and his life. I do not, just so you hear that. Why? I believe the context is what explains it to us, even though I went back to that Matthew context. This is different from the account in Matthew. That was the Sermon on the Mount in which he was referring to believers and their life, referring to light. Why would you say then, Pastor Dan, that it's not? It's the context here. First of all, the key is verse 18. After he gives the illustration of light, he turns around and says, so, based on what I've just said to you in verses 16 and 17, take care how you listen. How you listen. Listen to what? The Word of God. The Word of God is what he's talking about. How do we know that? The Pharisees had not been listening. They hadn't been listening to the Word of God. They knew some of the Word of God, but they did not want to even accept it. They did not want to apply it to their life. They did not want to even obey it. If you look at the end of the passage in verse 18, it helps you to understand that. Again, in the context, look at verse 18. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more will be given. To whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. What is he talking about? He's not talking about the believer's life. He's talking about what's been given to them. That is the light that's been revealed to them that they refuse to have it. It's going to be taken away. The light that's been given to the believer that responds to it, he will get more of it. And he will get further insight. And he will get additional information. Also in the context, first of all, verse 18, I think, makes it very clear that it's not referring to the believer's life, but what he has received. And why would you say it's the Word of God? Also, the context of what we just studied. You just had the parable of the sower. What was that? Remember this? What were the soils? The heart of the person. What was the seed? The Word of God. Look at verse 11. Now the parable, the seed is the Word of God. The seed was the Word of God. The soils were the hearts of people. And the only one that bore fruit was verse 15 that we just left off with. And as he's continuing into another parable, he's still building on that. And if you recall, look at verse 10 of chapter 8. And he said, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Remember, I explained that last week. But to the rest, it is in parables. So seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't understand. They don't get it. Why? And again, just to use the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the situation that we've been seeing through chapter 7. In fact, look at chapter 7, verse 39 again. Look at it. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know. Remember this? Who or what sort of person this woman is who is touching him. Why? That she's a sinner. This Pharisee who had invited Jesus to his house wasn't interested in what he was teaching. Even after that, the Lord will teach him and say, hey, let me give you an illustration regarding somebody with forgiveness. And so he's continuously, in chapter 7 and chapter 8, been showing the fruit of the word of God. And he's illustrated in chapter 8, verses 1 and 3, some that did respond. And so that as they go forth, he gives us the parable of the sower in verses 4 through 15 to show, look at, every time you sow the word, it's not going to always bear fruit in the sense of people getting saved and the people coming to Christ, because some will hear, and as you remember last week, it will act as judgment against them. It will act as judgment against them. So I believe the context of verses 16 through 18 and in the context, overall context of chapter 8, the lamp is not referring to the life of the believer, though it is true that we ought to let our light shine. And that is the Matthew passage, but not this one. This one's referring to the information and the light of the word of God. Many had heard, but many times when they even hear the word of God, they're thinking about other things. Let me ask you to be honest with yourself today. How many times do you come here, and do I come here on a Sunday morning, and our mind is on other things caught up in our day? And we hear the word of God preached, but we don't hear it. And by the time we get to the parking lot, we haven't even remembered it. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the reception and really hearing what God has been saying. Or, have you ever had this? You're trying to fit it into your theology. That happens with the more people that know the word of God. And we're dealing with that in this day and age. That was the Pharisees. Jesus Christ and what he was teaching did not fit into their theology. So they were not hearing it. They were not hearing it. And oftentimes people that know more of the word of God, and you talk to them, it's very interesting if you watch a theological discussion. Oh yeah, they'll look like they're listening. They're not listening at all. They're not ready to change a position. All they want to do is, this is their position. You're dumping even scripture into their ears. They're not hearing a thing, because they're just trying to see it doesn't fit their theology. So they're going to come back and attack. We all do that. All we're thinking is something else. It goes on and it goes on. So sometimes others do hear. We have an example of that. The woman in chapter 7, she heard and she wept and it changed her and more was given. What do you find in chapter 8, verses 1 to 3? Those list of women. And one even, remember, in Herod's house, verse 3, by the name of Joanna, who we know nothing about. She responded. She was listening intently. It affected her. And then he goes on to help us to realize in that sower. And so what is the real question? The real question this morning is, how well am I or am you hearing the word of God? Are we really hearing it? Is it affecting us so that we see its application to us? Or are we thinking of somebody else? To give you an Old Testament example very quickly, go to Nehemiah, then I'll give you two New Testament. Nehemiah. If you find Chronicles in the Old Testament, you'll find it. Ezra and then Nehemiah. So right near Chronicles, near the beginning of your Bible. But Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at verses 1 to 3. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the month. And basically he read from it before the square, which was in the front of the Watergate, from early morning until midday. Wouldn't that be great to have a service like that where we just listened to the book of the law? And he says, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law at the end of verse 3. You go down to verse 8, and he read from the book, from the law of God, translating and giving the sense that they could understand the reading. They were committed to really listening, and they wanted to know, how does it affect their lives? You find that in the New Testament. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verses 10 to 15. You'll recognize it. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now watch this. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they, first of all, received the word with great eagerness. How about when you go to have your devotions? Is it just to fit it in a schedule? You go to small groups. Is it to fit it in for everybody else to hear what they can learn? How about when you come here on Sunday morning? Is it just to get a religious obligation out of the way so that you can get back to your dinner, get back to everything else? Or do you come here with a listening heart, not for your wife or your children or your husband or the next door neighbor, but for you? How about when I study? That's why, again, expositional preaching. I don't have a choice to go and pick around where I want to go. What comes next, I have to listen to God for myself and understand what it says. These people were more noble. And then, by the way, we find how excited, because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these were so. Therefore, many of them believed. How did they come to believe? By the word of God doing its work. Go with me to one more passage, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Turn there to James chapter 1. Pages are sticking. Verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone is to be quick what? To hear. Am I quick to hear? You quick to hear this morning? Slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Now watch the context. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves, watch, doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That's what is being dealt with by Dr. Luke. People who hear but don't listen, really. People who hear but there's no response to it, no application, no doing, and it's taken away. In some cases, we saw last week, Satan himself will remove it. But sometimes we just lose it, and it's taken away, and we get less. But the one that is eager to know the word of God, I know I've shared this with you. When I got saved and I first came to know Christ, my Bible went with me everywhere. I remember going to clients when I was working for a CPA firm. My Bible was with me. And if I knew I didn't have time on the way to a client, whether I was traveling to Maine, New York, wherever it was, I took my time to read. Why? I just couldn't get enough of it. I wanted more of it. The more I was learning, the more I needed to know. That should be the response of the believer. Application to me. I wasn't thinking about how it applied to my wife or my kids. I wasn't thinking about how it applied in the church yet. The Lord would teach me that as time came along. It was, how does it apply to me? What is this doing for me in my life? And you go on, and it shows it in verse 25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in his deeds. We need to see it. What is the main reason to come together on a Sunday? Is it just to fulfill an obligation? And by the way, this is why, what is really the purpose of the church? It's to learn the Word of God and to grow. And churches that are cutting messages down to 15 minutes and everything else is about entertainment, that's not where it's at, folks. We should be coming here to learn the Word of God and to see its application to our life, because the light needs to be shed in our own hearts. You've heard me quote the last month or so from Hebrews chapter 4. It is the Word of God that is what penetrates even to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 9 talks about the Word of God. It is perfect. The testimonies of God is perfect. The statutes of the Lord are perfect. The fear of the Lord, and it goes on using all these illustrations about the Word of God. Go back to Luke chapter 8. So what are you saying, Pastor Dan? I believe that what he's dealing with is the light of the Word of God. You don't cover the Word of God. You put it out there in the open. You don't put it in secret. So take care how you listen. For the one who has been given and doesn't receive, it's going to be taken away. The one who receives will get more of it. We'll get more of it. How does that apply? What are the practical applications to it? Let me try to be quick with it. Number one, whatever you get, you should share. You don't hide it. How many times do we go into the Word of God and we don't even share what we've learned with anybody else? You say, well, I'm not a theologian. You don't have to be. The Word that's given you light, give it to others that they might have it. Also, we want to be careful not to add to it. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Too many have done that. And I'll come back to that in just one second. They take the Word of God, then they have their own philosophy, their own theology, and they add that to the light. And what have they done? They've covered it over, so people can't even understand it. Let me explain this to you. In Matthew, the Lord was very clear. You have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you. Do you know what that was? That was an illustration where the Pharisees and Sadducees had all of their rabbinical traditions, and the people were totally lost and confused. That's why you have Matthew 11 that I read this morning. They were burdened down and laden with all these rules and regulation. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and he says, I'll tell you what the Word of God really says. And they had totally lost even what it says. Do you know how many Christians are walking around today and because they're so wrapped up in their own thinking, have not gone to the Word to just let it shed its light on them? That is why they accused him with sitting down with tax collectors. I would never sit down. It's because they didn't understand the Word of God. They didn't understand the light that was revealed. And you think I'm kidding about hiding things through traditions? Go with me to Mark chapter 7. I was in the middle of saying Matthew or Mark, and it came out in a different name. Mark 7, very quickly. Mark chapter 7, pick it up in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come to Jerusalem and had seen that some of the disciples were not eating their bread, they were eating their bread with impure hands, that is unwashed. Can you imagine that? Now watch. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they carefully washed their hands. They had all kinds of rules and regulations on this. Thus observing, watch, the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they cleansed themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe such things, the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? Verse 6, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. They had covered the Word of God, the light that would have shone in people's hearts. Rather than give the simplicity of the Word, they had added so many things to it that people couldn't even see the light anymore. And they did it through traditions. Neglecting, notice verse 8, the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men, and that is going on in Christianity today. People have the light, and rather than just give out the light, they cover it up with traditions. They cover it up with things that are not so, as if it really were. He says, he has also the saying to them, you are experts setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. That is dangerous. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. Where would our families be if that happened? But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is, say, given to God, you no longer permit to do anything for his father or his mother. They had absolutely twisted the Word of God. Why do you think in the New Testament it talks about the fact that Paul said, we are not like those who twist the Word of God to make it what they want it to say? Why am I saying that? You've heard me say this before. I pray to God that when I stand before him, I will never have to say to him, I added to the Word with my traditions. I want to just be able to say to him, as best I could, I stuck to the Word for what it said and only for what it said, not more and not less. Because that is the light that people need to see. And we need to be careful. We need to seek the Word of God. We need to seek it for our own life. We need to listen. How does it apply to me? We need to be receptive to it. And we need to do what James says. We need to be ready to obey it. And when you are, you will see that God will give you more of the Word of God and more of the Word of God so that you better understand him and I better understand him. That's what is the design by God. But for those who won't listen, you might think you hear, but when you're trying to apply it to everybody else, it'll just be taken away because you'll forget it. And you'll be like the person that walked away and didn't see himself in the mirror. And then you'll be wondering why you're not growing. You know, we come here, we talk about Sundays. We come here to worship. Let me tell you this. We do worship the Lord together collectively, and that's wonderful. But our life is to be a life of worship every single day. We should be worshiping the Lord in everything we do and the decisions that we make. At home, at work, in our neighborhoods, with our associates. That's true worship, worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth by obeying him. Why we come together is so we can collectively worship him, but we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I'm sitting at his feet right now, though I'm doing the talking. And letting the Word of God shed its light, it brings conviction. It brings encouragement. It brings strength. And it's the very thing that we need to know, because without this, we would not get to know God as he is. And the more I'm receptive to listening to it myself, the more I'll be able to share it. So what's the point of the parable? I believe it's that the light of the Word of God should be given out, just like it was in the last parable. We don't worry about the fruit. God gives the increase. Let's give out the seed of the Word of God. And when we're in the presence of the Word of God, don't be occupied with everything else. Be listening. What does it mean to me? How does it apply to me? How does that convict me? Am I really ready to listen? Am I ready to receive more? How many ways have I not listened? And in effect, what happens is I've covered it up. How? I guarantee with everybody in this room, starting with me, there's been ways that I've actually covered the Word of God and put a darkness on it because I've added to it unintentionally maybe, but with traditions and with other things, just like the Pharisees did. Just like the Pharisees. So what are we to do? Come with a receptive heart every time you open up the Word of God. And say to God, just like it says in the scriptures, just like we sing, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Even when it's convicting, even when it's encouraging. Why? And then take the Word of God and apply it. Take the Word of God and use it in your life. Don't hide it. Let it be seen. Then your light will be seen by others, and they will be drawn to the cross. And then share it with others as well, so that they can understand the truth of the Word of God. And God's work will be accomplished. And God will continue to share more with you, just like he did with his disciples. How well do we listen? How well do we listen today? How often do we confuse "I'm listening" when we're elsewhere and not applying it to our own life? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, today we've observed communion. We've talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came, shed his blood. Father, I'm thankful that many in this room have trusted in Christ. But there's no doubt in my mind that there's some in this room that have not yet come to the light of the world. They think it's for someone else. It doesn't apply to them. Open their eyes that they might see wonderful things out of your law, that they might understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come unto the Father but by him, because of his sacrifice. But as believers, I pray that you'd help us to come with a heart that's receptive, with ears that are listening. Listening so that every time we open the Word of God, we're not involved in our busy schedules and activities and everything else, but we're like they were at Berea. We're like they were in the Old Testament in Nehemiah's day, just eagerly waiting to hear the Word of God, to understand it, and to allow you to work it in our personal lives, so that, Father, then our light will shine as we share the Word of God and our lives are changed by the Word of God in our own being. We thank you for that. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.